Okay, so remember that feeling when you finally learned to ride a bike, that like sense of freedom? It was probably a little scary at first, but the thrill of finally getting it right was just amazing, right? And it's kind of funny how as we get older, that whole idea of risk, especially for seniors, it starts to feel a lot scarier, doesn't it? But what if we're approaching this all wrong? Today we're going to kind of challenge some assumptions about safety and aging. We're doing a deep dive into an article from LifeSpark. They're a company that focuses on senior care, and they feature some insights from geriatrician Dr. Bill Thomas. He has some pretty interesting ideas about how just a little bit of risk can actually be beneficial for older adults.
I've heard some of his work, and it's pretty fascinating stuff.
So the article starts with this story about Kathy Kasiorowicz's mother, who, despite facing all these challenges like visual impairment and, cognitive decline, she really insisted on living life on her own terms. Even after multiple falls and injuries, her spirit wasn't dampened. It really makes you think, there's this constant tension between wanting to protect our loved ones and also respecting their desire to live their lives to the fullest.
Yeah, it's such a difficult balance to strike. And what's so fascinating is that Dr. Thomas calls this tendency to overprotect, he calls it surplus safety. And he argues that it can be just as harmful as not being safe enough. It's like the old saying, everything in moderation.
Right. So instead of like wrapping our loved ones in bubble wrap, we need to kind of find that sweet spot. Is that what he means by this optimum risk?
Precisely. Optimum risk recognizes that everyone is different. What feels risky for one person might be perfectly manageable for another, especially as we age. It's about finding that individual balance and not applying this one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm starting to see now how this surplus safety could actually backfire. I mean, if we're constantly like restricting someone's movements, aren't we also making them weaker and potentially even more prone to accidents?
Absolutely. Just think about the use of physical restraints in some care facilities. It might seem like the safest option on the surface, but it often leads to muscle atrophy, decreased mobility, and even psychological distress.
Wow.
Ironically, those restraints might actually increase the risk of falls and injuries in the long run.
That's a pretty sobering thought. It's almost like we're creating the very problems that we're trying to avoid. But how do we actually figure out what this optimum risk level is? It feels kind of abstract.
Well, Dr. Thomas actually has a great analogy for this. He compares risk to a vitamin. He calls it vitamin R.
Vitamin R. I love that.
Just like we need a certain amount of vitamin D or vitamin C, we also need a dose of this vitamin R for optimal, physical and mental well-being. Too little can be detrimental, of course, but so can too much. The key is finding the right dosage for each individual.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get the picture now. So it's not about like eliminating all risk. It's more about understanding that some risk is healthy and even necessary. But how do we actually make that practical, in everyday life? Like where do we draw the line?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. One of the most compelling examples from the article is about an 85-year-old woman who was considering a third hip replacement.
Wow, a third one. That sounds pretty risky. Especially at that age.
Exactly. And the surgeon was very upfront about the risks, However, he also really respected her desire to maintain an active lifestyle, and he ultimately left the decision in her hands, acknowledging that her definition of acceptable risk might differ from someone else's.
Yeah, that's a great example of how individual needs and values should really play a role. It's not just about what a medical chart says, right? It's about understanding the whole person.
Precisely. And I think the article also touches on another really crucial point here, this fear of falling. It's a major concern for a lot of seniors, but it can almost become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, you mean like if someone's constantly afraid of falling, they might become less active, which actually weakens them and makes falls more likely.
Exactly. We see this all the time, well-intentioned family members, they might try to prevent falls by limiting activities, but this can actually do more harm than good. It creates this vicious cycle of fear, inactivity, and increased frailty.
So how do we break that cycle? The article mentions something called the Spark Performance League. Is that what you're getting at?
That's a perfect example, this incredible program, where seniors in these LifeSpark communities actually compete in athletic events. There's this one story about a woman who fell during a race. She was determined to get back up and keep going. It just really highlights how a healthy dose of risk can lead to remarkable resilience and a sense of accomplishment.
That's so inspiring. It totally challenges that stereotype of aging as a time of decline. So are you saying that pushing our boundaries, even later in life, can actually lead to a more fulfilling experience?
Absolutely. And there are so many ways to do this. It doesn't have to be athletic competition. It could be learning a new skill or traveling to a new place or even just trying a new recipe.
So it's about finding those opportunities to keep growing and experiencing life, even if they involve a little bit of uncertainty.
Exactly. It's about embracing life with that sense of adventure, even as we age.
Yeah, this is really making me rethink a lot of my assumptions. But I think we need to dig a bit deeper into this whole idea of what vitamin R looks like in practice.
I agree. There's a lot more to unpack here.
Okay, let's dive in.
And what's really exciting about this whole vitamin R concept is that it's not just about physical challenges, right? It applies to all aspects of life. Like, it could be something as simple as letting your grandfather choose his own clothes, even if you think they clash, or allowing your grandmother to cook her own meals, even if it takes her a bit longer.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's about respecting their autonomy and letting them make their own choices, even if those choices come with, you know, some level of risk.
Exactly. And sometimes it's about challenging our own perceptions of what's appropriate for seniors. The article mentions this program where residents in a care facility were given the opportunity to care for plants and even small animals.
Oh, interesting. I imagine some people might have thought that was too much responsibility or even, you know, a safety hazard for older adults.
You're absolutely right, but the results were incredible. The residents thrived on the responsibility and, you know, that sense of purpose it gave them. Plus, you know, interacting with nature and animals has been shown to have all these therapeutic benefits.
Yeah, I can totally see that. It's amazing how something as simple as caring for a plant can just completely shift someone's outlook. It really speaks to the power of feeling needed and having that sense of purpose.
And that sense of purpose is such a key ingredient in this whole vitamin R thing, right? It's not just about the activity itself. It's about the meaning and the motivation behind it.
So how do we help the seniors in our lives find those meaningful activities, you know, those opportunities for vitamin R? It feels like a bit of a balancing act, doesn't it? Because we want to encourage them, of course, but we also don't want to push them beyond their limits.
It's definitely a delicate balance. The first step is communication. Have, you know, open and honest conversations with your loved ones. Ask them what they enjoy or what challenges they'd like to take on or even what fears they might have.
Right. It sounds like active listening is really key here, really trying to understand their perspective and not just imposing our own anxieties.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that their comfort levels with risk might be totally different from ours, right? Like, what feels risky to us might feel perfectly manageable to them, or vice versa.
Oh yeah, for sure. I remember my grandmother was adamant about staying in her own home. Even after she, you know, started having some mobility issues, we were all so worried about her falling. But moving was simply not an option for her.
Right, right. That's a classic example of the conflict between perceived risk and personal values. I think in situations like that, it's about finding solutions that address those safety concerns while still respecting their wishes.
Right. So instead of like forcing a move, maybe we could have explored options like installing grab bars or improving the lighting or just, you know, arranging for regular check-ins.
Exactly. It's about working together to create an environment that supports their independence while mitigating those risks. And sometimes it's about acknowledging that some level of risk is just simply unavoidable.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But I guess it's realistic. We can't eliminate all risks, but we can help them manage those risks in a way that aligns with their values and priorities.
Precisely. And sometimes that means letting go of our own fears and trusting in their ability to make decisions for themselves.
That can be really hard, especially when we're dealing with, you know, loved ones who are aging. It's natural to want to protect them, but it sounds like overprotection can sometimes do more harm than good.
Absolutely. It can erode their self-confidence and diminish their quality of life. Imagine being told that you're no longer capable of making your own choices or pursuing your own passions. It would be incredibly disheartening.
Yeah. It makes you realize that this surplus safety isn't just about physical well-being, right? It's also about mental and emotional well-being.
Exactly. It's about respecting their dignity, their agency, and their right to live a full and meaningful life, even if that life involves some, you know, bumps along the way.
Yeah. This whole Vitamar concept is really making me rethink how I approach my own interactions with the older adults in my life. But I have to admit, I'm still grappling with this fine line between encouraging healthy risk-taking and ensuring their safety.
It's a constant balancing act, and there's no easy answer. But I think the key is to approach it with, you know, empathy, open communication, and a willingness to let go of some of our own control.
So how do we start putting this into practice? Like, what are some concrete steps we can take to help our loved ones find their own vitamin R balance? It feels like we're talking about this, a real shift in perspective here. Instead of focusing on what we think is best for our loved ones, we need to really listen to what they want and what brings them joy, right? Is that a good starting point?
I think that's the heart of it, really. It's about moving away from this paternalistic approach and embracing a more collaborative one. Instead of saying, you know, you can't do that because it's too risky, we can ask, how can we make that activity safer or more manageable for you?
Right. So it's about finding solutions together and not just like imposing restrictions.
Exactly. Let's say, you know, your grandfather wants to continue gardening, but he's having trouble bending over. Maybe you can help him build a raised garden bed or find some adaptive tools that make it easier for him to reach the plants.
Oh, that's a great idea. Or if your mother loves to cook but has trouble standing for long periods, you could maybe set up a comfortable chair in the kitchen or find ways to like break down the tasks into smaller, more manageable steps.
Those are great examples. It's about, you know, getting creative and thinking outside the box. And sometimes it's about letting go of our own expectations and embracing a slower pace.
You know, thinking back to the article and that incredible story about the woman who fell during that Spark Performance League race, it wasn't just about her determination to get back up, right? It was also about the community that rallied around her.
Oh, that's such an important point. Vitamin R isn't just about individual effort. It's also about having a supportive network. You know, family, friends, and even community groups can play a huge role in helping seniors find their optimum risk levels.
So if someone like wants to try a new hobby or activity, maybe we can help them find a class or a group that caters to seniors.
Exactly. Or if they're, you know, hesitant to go out alone, maybe we can offer to accompany them or arrange for transportation. It's about removing those barriers and creating opportunities for them to engage with the world in ways that feel, you know, safe and enjoyable.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. It's made me realize that supporting our loved ones as they age isn't about like wrapping them in cotton wool. It's about empowering them to live their lives to the fullest, even if that means embracing a little bit of risk along the way.
And it's not just about their well-being. It's also about our own growth as caregivers. When we let go of some of our fears and allow our loved ones to take those calculated risks, we're also, you know, challenging ourselves to embrace a more expansive view of aging.
It's that recognizing that life is a journey, and that journey doesn't end just because we get older. There's still so much to experience, so much to learn, and so much to give.
Beautifully said. And I think this whole vitamin R concept gives us a framework for approaching those later chapters with a sense of, you know, curiosity, compassion, and maybe even a little bit of adventure.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a question to ponder. How can you help the seniors in your life find their own unique vitamin R balance? How can you support their independence while still providing the care and understanding they need? It's a conversation worth having. The answers might just surprise you. Until next time, keep diving deep, and remember, a little bit of risk go a long way.